You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour
this call may be recorded or transcribed.
Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today, that you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. That's right, will do. The will to do it. Hoping, too, that the weather is accommodating for you to do it and everything is in place for you to do it and you just get it done. No procrastination. Get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, too, whatever search engine you use, Google Chrome, Internet Explorer, Firefox, whatever. Time for an Awakening. Put that in the search. Put Baba Oshi in the search. BABAOSHI.net. BabaOshi.net in the search. And there will be, once again, programs that are dated and titled. Yep. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Thursday, tomorrow evening from 7 to 8, the Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Mississippi on the Move from 7 to 8. On Friday, 8 p.m. until Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And on Sunday, once again, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. That's right. Spend money with us, you know, for the holiday, for sure. Africa for the Africans. Brother Monty Taihemba is ready to go. Trip is upcoming this weekend, the 24th. He's leaving December 24th, coming back January 4th, 2024, going to Azania. Then he leaves again March 29th to April 9th, 2024. Liberia and Morocco. July 11th or July 23rd, 2024, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, 2024, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, the same year as this year, 2025. December 24th, 2024 to January 4th, 2025. Azania, once again, going to Azania. April 1st to April 11th, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. Brothers and sisters, go on, go on Africa40Africans.org. All the information is there that you need, all the documents, the shots, the visas, and so forth. Everything is there that you need. If you want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. Habesha. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad, and the various projects that they have. Here in the Atlanta area, Habesha works Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs. And of course, the Kashi Project, which was unveiled last year, October, in Ghana. Habesha Incorporated.org. Abibiatumi, Abibiatumi, Abibiatumi.com. Abibiatumi. Yeah. I tell you, transforming digital ideas to physical realities. Excuse me, family. So then my eye. All right. Abibiatumi is transforming digital ideas into uncolonizable. Uncolonizable. The cracker can't do nothing about it. Physical realities by focusing on tangible manifestations of ideas that resist colonization. Emphasize self-sufficiency. Encourage cultural empowerment and preserve ingenious knowledge. That's Abibiatumi, Abibiatumi, Abibiatumi.com. Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics, the Ledge Group family. My good brothers at the Ledge Group, go to theledgegroup.com and check it out for yourself. The Moses West Smy Pharmacy, website is still down at Smy Pharmacy. The Moses West Foundation, and, of course, Brother Moses West and the work that he's doing with the AWG, the Atmospheric Water Generation Technology in that system. Brothers and sisters, there is no shortage of water. Water's all around us. We just have to utilize what we have with this machine. Just put money into it, have it mass produced so we can have clean, usable, drinkable water. And not just for drinking, but for community use, for irrigation, waterponics, you know, all kind of things. Well, where we at? Okay. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. And all kinds of good stuff at Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, and so much more. If you're in the Atlanta area, go to the Greenbrier Mall and check out Mama Nia. She's right there on that main strip. Before you get to the food court, she's right there. 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, which is east of here. Jump on I-20, go east, take exit 74. Make a left onto the main street headed into Lithonia. About a mile so in on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar with my good brother, Kazinde Ajamu, the proprietor. Give him a call at 770-305-6373, 770-305-6373. There is light in the black dot. Take that road going back south. Jump back on I-20 east. The very next exit, exit 75, Turnhill Road. Take that exit, make a right. Go down three lights, make another right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. I'll be talking about that for the next few days because we're having a lot of Kwanzaa presentations that are going to be happening at the new Black Wall Street Market. Right on. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Carpet for Our People, tomorrow night at 9, from 9 to 10, is their Thursday night broadcast of Us Lifting Us. Blog,
on blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Okay? If you want to call to ask a question, comment, or concern, or just to listen, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us, lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Gift Shop. Homeland Village and Gift Shop, cultural gift shop located in Macon, Georgia. It's open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And they have it all. They got furniture. They got clothes. They got all kinds of figurines and literature, CDs, DVDs, oils. Man, even has a vegan restaurant. Brother Abijah's got it going on. Give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. All right. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. And give Sister Shelly Amundsen a call because she'll have some nice gifts for you for the holidays, okay? 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun God Essence, your one-stop natural shop. Brothers and sisters, go online to Sanjay, SONJE-HAITI.org. Sister Gabby in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti has been doing great work with children, school, sustainable health care, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship. Believe me, go to Sanjay, SONJE-HAITI.org. All right, Baba Baruti, Mama Ya, at Akabin House, or Akabin Institute is a school. Akabin House is where you can go online, akabinhouse.com, for the myriad of books that Baba Baruti writes. He's a prolific writer. Just couldn't say that. And, of course, one of the things they write, of course, is the Inya, it's a sim of daily revolutionary thought. And of course, we're going to read from the Inya Sesem, Daily Revolutionary Thought. December 19th. The one who is nearest the enemy in pursuit is the real leader. Ganda proverb. Often, it is difficult to tell the real from fake among the voices clamoring to speak for us. Those infected with Negroitis, a psychological sickness wherein Africans contract a burning desire to mimic Europeans and obliterate all that is African within them, involuntarily applaud the likes of Henry Louis Gates, Cornel West, Tavis Smiley, and Michael Eric Dyson as the foremost and most visible African intellectuals, even never having read or thought about the implications of what these elite Negroes have said. All they need to know is that they totally advocate subintegrationist, interracialist agendas. They know that Europeans approve of them, as evident in the privileges awarded them, which is ample evidence of their leadership. However, for those who have learned to rely on our intuition and the knowledge we have already acquired from the works and lectures of serious African-centered thinkers, those who truly speak for us are easy to identify. For knowing is not a difficult task. Nonetheless, to those in search of our true intellectual leadership, most often one of the best indicators of whether an African scholar is or is not in our corner is the degree to which he or she is under attack. If they're under attack, they're in our corner. If crackers hate them, we love them. Sacrifices all to remain in that battle and has to struggle against Europeans and Negroes to speak our truth. That's why we must support them. That's why we love them. Affirm, I am the nearest the enemy in pursuit. Affirm, I am nearest the enemy in serious pursuit. December 20th. Students need to know that the reason we're still doing square roots is because of these African people that lived at least 1,000 years ago. Deborah Ma'at Moore. Chess is math, which was an ancient Nubians and Kemet's strongest suit because the universe they decipher for us is math. Chess is a game that requires a constant calculation and recalculation of multiple numerical problems at the same time. The leap in thinking that occurs in a child when he or she is required to simultaneously consider the present and possible moves of 32 uniquely moving pieces continuously traversing a 64-square board is truly amazing to witness. Not surprisingly, it requires these skills by default. Mathematical thinking skills improve without students even trying. They don't even realize they're learning. Ashe. Affirm, I embrace math. Affirm, I embrace math. When you, and I hope you have, and if you haven't, please do, when you get time, go to YouTube, put in Great Pyramid K 2019. Great Pyramid K 2019. It explains to you who built the pyramids and how they were built. And the main thing is we use math. It's math. So, yeah, Great Pyramid K 2019. Yeah, man, I tell you. We're going to do a couple of things today. I'm going to talk about why we shouldn't celebrate these European holidays. I'm going to enlist one of our great ancestors, a brother who I share a birthday with, April 27th, and that is Dr. Shakamusa Barashango. And a lot of his presentations online are so long, but I think I've got a decent clip to present, you know. But before I do that, you know, we talked about the European Jews and why they don't want to have DNA tests, you know, because they're not the Hebrews or of the Bible. These are Ashkenazi Jews. These are the late converts to Judaism. And they don't have the DNA. They are Europeans. They're Caucasians. They have no link at all to that land that they have taken. But understand, this has been going on for quite a few hundred years of these European Jews putting themselves in the position that where they are now. And one of the things that when you read this history and they talk about it, depend upon, you know, not from them, but from those outside and for those who look at how they are and what they've done objectively, you realize, you know, they've been manipulators. They're underminers. Remember I said the other day, if you listened, that in the Bible, in the story of Jacob and Esau, you know, that Jacob was, his name means the supplanter, because he supplanted his brother Esau from his birthright and blessing, because Esau was the firstborn. Jacob was the underminer. And of course, in the Bible, in the story, when it was found out what Jacob had done, Esau was going to kill his ass. And so Jacob, his mother told him to get up out of here, because his father, you know, was going blind, you know. In fact, when he went, because he told, his father told Esau to bring me some of that stew, that savory stew that I love, and because he was a great hunter, you know. And so Jacob and his mama, you know, they hurry up and put some good savory stew together while Esau was out there hunting, and put some fur over on them, because see, Jacob was smooth. He didn't have a lot of hair. Esau was hairy all over. And so when he went into the tent, you know, and presented the meal to him, he said, I feel this is the hands of Esau, but it sounds like the voice of Jacob. He kind of knew some stuff was up, but he said, nah, I'm going to go ahead and eat this because it is the savory stew that I like that Esau makes. And so I'm going to bless you with the birthright or the blessing, one or the other. But the bottom line is Jacob took Esau's birthright and blessing. And I can go through the story, but I don't have all that much time. But anyway, so when he fell asleep on that rock, on that pillow, the rock, he had a dream of Jacob's ladder, and he had a battle with an angel, or God, some say, I don't know. And he said, no longer will your name be Jacob, but your name will be Israel. And, of course, the 12 tribes came from that. And these Ashkenazi Jews are not any of the 12 tribes. Ashkenazi Jews come from the three. There's three sons. Say, I don't believe none of this shit, but there's three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Japheth is the Caucasian. Ham is us. And Shem is the Semitic people, the Palestinians. So these people come from Japheth, the Caucasians, the Europeans, okay, that you see here. That's who they are. They're not the Semitic. That's why constantly saying being anti-Semitic is bull. They are anti-Semitic because of what they've done to the Palestinians and to others in that region, okay, if you want to know the truth about it. And so they dominate and control Judaism globally. And so Brother Kwaku sent me this particular piece, and we're going to play this right quick. Okay? I hope that you can hear it well and make some comments on it.
Treasury Janet Yellen, Attorney General Merrick Garland, Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas, Director of National Intelligence Avril Haines, White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman, Secretary of State for Political Affairs Victoria Nuland, Office of Science and Technology Policy Eric Lander, Director of the Central Intelligence Agency David S. Cohen. There you have it. What are the chances that less than 2% of the population would occupy all of 10 of the most important positions in the administration? Since Jews are dual nationals, ask yourself, where do loyalties lay? Why do Jews control our government, our courts, our press, our schools, and our banking and entertainment industries? Jews have seized America. Face up to it. America has a Zionist-occupied government. Jews own or control the media, Hollywood, the U.S. money supply via the Federal Reserve European Jew bankers who set it up in 1913. Jews control the Ivy League universities via the directors and provosts. They've seized over 80% of senior cabinet positions in multiple recent administrations. Through Jew Larry Fink's BlackRock, they have board control interest in every corporation worth owning. They control academic book publishing. They set up or run most mischievous minority group. This is the Faces of Shame. Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen, Attorney General Merrick Garland, Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas, Director of National Intelligence Avril Haines, White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman, Secretary of State for Political Affairs Victoria Nuland, Office of Science and Technology Policy Eric Lander, Director of the Central Intelligence Agency David S. Cohen. There you have it. What are the chances that less than 2% of the population would occupy all of 10 of the most important positions in the administration? Since Jews are dual nationals, ask yourself, where do loyalties lay? Why do Jews control our government, our courts, our press, our schools, and our banking and entertainment industries? Jews have seized America. Face up to it. America has a Zionist-occupied government. Jews own or control the media, Hollywood, the U.S. money supply via the Federal Reserve. cabinet positions in multiple recent administrations. Through Jew Larry Fink's BlackRock, they have board control interest in every corporation worth owning. They control academic book publishing. They set up or run most mischievous minority group.
Yeah, that's them. That's what they do. It's what they do. Yeah. So we're going to if anybody wants to comment on what you just heard, I played it twice, what you just heard. If anybody wants to comment on that, you want to give me a call at 215-490-9832. They have, and they've established a control over everything. Remember I told you about that Myrtle that was in Benjamin's Delicatessen in Milwaukee on the east side? They took it down. I mean, maybe somebody made a comment on it and they felt, you know, you shouldn't put that up there just because maybe we're saying to everyone that comes in here and sees it, we control everything. We in everything. Brother Marcus, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Brother Oshie.
Good morning, my dear friend. How are you?
That was a powerful little thing you just played. Powerful.
Yes, it was.
It's the truth.
It's the truth.
It is the truth. Yeah. What you just played, you know, and
yeah.
And the, you know, I tell you something too. You VP Harris, she's married to?
Mm-hmm.
Who is she married to?
European Jew, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah. If anything happened to Biden,
right?
Who's gonna be running the country?
Exactly.
Harris, you know,
and of course his influence has the vice president's, and now then would be the president's husband.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she's sleeping with him. So come on.
Yeah.
You know, now when you point these things out, they're gonna say, "Oh, you're anti-Semitic." You know, like
right.
Jews. You know what I'm saying? But it is the truth.
Yeah.
It is the truth. You know, I did a survey to find out. I did a little research to find out, you know, who owned a lot of these football teams. And you would be shocked to find out who owned them. Who owned them, you know?
Yeah.
So these people are, you know, they are intertwined, so wrapped up in the, you know, and that's why they are allowing those, you know, what is taking place in Israel here, because the whole administration is made up of these people.
Right. And that's why you see a lot of us who are athletes saying we support Israel.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
They pledge their allegiance to Israel, regardless of, and some say they do it unconditionally, regardless of how dogmatic they are to the Palestinian people and trying to eliminate them. This is Brother Marcus, this is genocide.
Of course.
Right before
it
your
is genocide.
Eyes. Yes.
It is genocide. You know that guy Charleston White. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, he came out and said a lot of things about them too. You know, he said, look, you know, these people here, they talking this stuff and they are in the record industry, in the music industry,
right.
Promoting that self-destructive music that we, you know, listen to and, you know, help destroy ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? These same people, these Clive Davises, these Atlantic Record people, you know what I'm saying? You know,
right.
It is the truth. And if you say anything, you're anti-Semitic, you know,
right.
Like, you know, like Jews, you know what I'm saying? You know,
once again, though, Marcus, they're not Semitic. They're not the Semites. The Semites come out of the, if you want to go by the three sons of Noah, they come out of Shem. They come out of Shem. Semitical people. Half. These are the Europeans. These are the Caucasians. So to me, they are anti-Semitic for what they're doing to the Palestinians. They're anti-Semitic. You know?
It is just, they have bamboozled the entire world.
You know, the entire world.
Yes, I heard some people say that they were saying, you know, the reason a lot of Africans support what they are doing is because a lot of Africans are Christians.
Right.
And the Christian religion teach us that the Jews are the chosen of God.
Right.
You know, these are God's people. They are God's.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, mm-hmm. But it was the Jew who wrote the book. He wrote the Talmud. He wrote the Talmud, Torah. You know what I'm saying? And Judaism predate Christianity mm-hmm. and Islam. Judaism was before. You know, and they wrote themselves in. Jewish mm-hmm. scholars wrote themselves in. You know, it is just, you know, they really got our mind twisted up. You know, it's crazy. It's just.
That's why I advocate that we embrace being African. We embrace being African-centered. That we embrace African traditions. We embrace African theology or African spirituality. We embrace that. To hell with the Christianity. To hell with Judaism. To hell with Islam.
Exactly. Yes, because all three of those religions have devastated us.
Yes.
Christianity has devastated black people. Islam is devastating black people and has, in fact, they were the first ones who started all this foolishness. You know, 1,400 years ago when they came into Africa and said, join us, pay tribute, or die.
Yeah.
That was how Islam came into Africa.
Yeah, they didn't
it didn't come as a religion of peace.
No.
They said, always come in peace. As-salamu alaykum, peace. No. Peace where? Yeah, yeah. A peace.
Well, you know what my best friend, Brother Teju Mala Olaboni, he said that. Reason why they say that, because when they encounter somebody, you got to know how they're going to approach you, because these are warring times. Those were warring times as they are today. And people want to, you come in peace? Okay. Then the answer to that was, wa alaikum as-salam, peace be unto you also. So now that we have that camaraderie. But if we don't, then you might come and kill me. Or damn it, I got to, kill you first. You know,
exactly.
This is crazy.
Because if you don't embrace what they say, you know what I'm saying? You know, and, mm-hmm. and then too, the thing with Islam too, if you are an Islam Muslim and you convert, that's justification to kill you, you know.
Yeah.
In their religion, if you convert, I don't want to be a Muslim no more. What? You want to embrace? You are infidel, you know?
That's
It is just madness.
Theologies that we have, the theologies that have been imposed upon the world and its people are detrimental. They are detrimental for us as human beings.
You look at in our community is saturated with churches.
Mm-hmm.
And crime is going through the roof.
And look at
unemployment is going through the roof. And these people don't say anything about that. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, if the church was a factory, it would be better. If all these churches in our communities were factories, we would be in a better position because we'd be creating employment for our people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We'd be producing some products that we could put out there and sell on them, you know. But, you know, man, I tell you, I live here in Memphis, brother. And I tell you, the mentality of our people, the crime, the homicide, you know, it's wild now.
Yeah.
Like before Christmas here. They
it's
are
all over.
Shade, bro.
Yeah, it's all over. And that's the sad thing. You know, when you look at the situation, the theology is one of the main causes of this disruption, the main causes of this dysfunction, you know, because you don't get, you know, supposedly you're supposed to get into this theology and it, you know, it makes you a better person and makes you feel good about other. No, it doesn't. It doesn't do that. There's envy, there's jealousy, man. There's envy, there's greed, you know. So, yeah, yes. Brother Marcus, I tell you.
It justifies what they do. They go and do evil, and then they go and repent. Yeah. Well, Lord, forgive me for robbing that person. Or Jesus, forgive me for you know. So it's a way for them to go justify what they did to somebody. Yeah. Well, you know what one person said to me? Well, Christians are not perfect. We are just forgiven.
That's the thing. That's the thing about there's such an easy out in Christianity.
Exactly.
There's an easy out. Exactly. You know, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I am a sinner. And so I forgive you, son, and Jesus forgives you. You believe? Yes. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Then now go. You know.
You will be saved.
And you will be saved. You know. You done created all this crime, murder, thievery, you know. But because you believe in Jesus and you so-called confessed and repent of your sins, your ass is going to heaven. And here, I don't believe in that shit, but I'm a good man. I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. You know, I'm a good neighbor. I never wronged anybody. I'm going to hell because I don't believe that shit.
You know, stop it. And then they come and they say, you were born in sin.
You were born in sin.
And you were shaped in iniquity. So you ain't no good from the jump.
You ain't no good. All right, Brother Marcus, continue to listen,
you
man.
All right,
peace to you. Brother Paul, good afternoon. Or good morning. No, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good morning to everybody listening on this fabulous platform. Brother Marcus Wagwan. Yeah. Brother Marcus, let me just say this. You can't suck hard on the poison breath of Babylon and complain to the milk the sour. See it there?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying, Baba Ochi? You can't be sucking on the poison breast of Babylon and at the same time complaining that the milk is sour.
Right on.
That can't work.
Right.
That can't work.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to come out of her. You got to wean yourself off of that poison breath of Babylon. And unfortunately, many of us in the West, that's what we're doing.
Right.
We're complaining, but we're still sucking on the poison breath of Babylon. Yeah,
And the problem, though, Brother Paul, as you know, is we're still in that environment. We're in it 24/7, 365. And so when you say we got to come out of it, what it really means physically, we have to come out of it. There are some of us, myself, you, and so forth, so many of the listeners this program, who have mentally came out of this madness. We control our minds. Okay?
Well, that's the point, Baba Ochi. You see, for me personally, and I have to come in there, because the reality of it is, it doesn't matter if you're put on Mars. It doesn't even matter if you move to Jupiter or Venus. Mm. The reality of it is, everything is formulated in the mind. Yeah.
Yes.
So you're absolutely right. That's why I say I have to just be a contributor to this wonderful platform, because everything is about the mind. Look, Baba Ochi, let's just make this plain, and I know people don't like the truth, but I'm going to spit it. Listen, if you took some of these so-called African-Americans or American-Africans or whatever you want to call them, if you took some of them and put them in Africa with the wrong mind, they ain't going to be no good in Africa.
Simple as that.
They're going to be worse than you. If you take, I hate this word, but I'm going to have to use it because it's appropriate. If you take some of these Negroes.
Yes.
And you put them in Africa, they will stab you in the back. They will cut your throat.
Yeah.
They will stamp on you and move over you. They're no good for Africa. Okay?
No.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's not about going to Africa. It's not about going anywhere. It's about the mind.
Right.
Because I don't want to be around them. Those with these messed up minds, this jealousy, the backstabbing, the two-facedness, all the things Marcus Mathias Garvey talked about 100 years ago, which is still happening today. The xenophobic. I hear the xenophobic talk. Look, I hear it. I listen to these platforms. I hear the xenophobia. I hear it in these Negroes' words, and they pretend that they're conscious. Mm-hmm. They're xenophobic.
Yes.
Okay? Because they're wrapping themselves in the flag, and they think they're exceptionalists. Mm-hmm. They think there's something special about them. But I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. There ain't nothing special about them.
I say, right on.
They walk and talk just like me. They go to toilet just like me. Nothing special about them.
Nothing.
I'm trying to say to you, Baba, you're right. I agree. It's about the mind. And sometimes when I listen to their words, I listen to what they say, and they don't even know that their own words are betraying their egos, or they're betraying their whatever they're trying to say. Because you can hear the xenophobia in their voice. You can hear that they don't know what they're talking about. Look, we are people of this whole damn planet. And these people have messed up our minds for indoctrination. They've messed up our minds and our thinking through their education systems.
Yes.
You know, Ochi, this last thing I'm going to say to you. You know, we often talk about economics, yeah?
Right.
Now, listen to this word. I want the next person to come and talk about economics. Ask them who Adam Smith is, and let them break down who Adam Smith is and what he contributed. Let them break that down. I bet you I don't have a clue who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell it for the people who don't know. Adam Smith is the guru of this pseudoscience called economics. A Scottish man. Mm-hmm. Now, most of the things they practice in your land called America comes from him. Him. This Scotchman. Right now, what they're practicing in the Federal Reserve and all these politicians keep putting, it comes from Adam Smith. A Scottish man.
Yes.
Okay? Do you hear these half-break Negroes come on here and say, oh, you have to do our economics? I'm thinking to myself, have they really read economics? Do they really understand? You know, if you pick up any book on economics, it tells you about the science of scarcity. Then I say to myself, but how? Africa is a scarce place. Africa is a place of abundance. So how are you going to come tell me about economics when it tells you in every economics book it's about scarcity? They're talking about themselves because they had nothing. Mm-hmm. They've created a pseudoscience to practice on us, and we're so
right.
They go to Africa. This is what they do. They go to Africa and they pick some young man who's shown a lot of potential. They take him to Oxford or Cambridge or the London School of Economics.
Indoctrinate
and brainwash him.
And brainwash him. Indoctrinate him. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know where they learn? They learned that from the Romans. When Roman conquered England, that's where they learned it, because that's what the Romans did. The Romans took them to Rome, brainwashed them, and sent them back to England. That's how we get this religion called Christianity. And one last thing I want to say to you about Archie. I want to push back a little bit on my great and fantastic family brother, Marcus, yeah?
Okay.
You see about these Jews? You see these Jews? Look, I just saw this the other day, and it reminded me. It's not something I hadn't read before, and I knew the person, yeah? But he was talking about Catholicism and the Catholics, yeah? I just want to say this. The Jews have a lot of power. Yeah, they do. But the real ones, I think, I might be wrong. I'm not saying I'm 100% right. But I think the real power who's running this planet is the Pope. That's what I think. And let me tell you why I say that. Because, right now in Israel, they have this idea, the Zionists, that they're trying to rebuild the temple that the Romans destroyed. This is what the religious fanatics will be. But the contradiction to that, right, is the word J only come into alphabet 400 years. So anything but Judaism, all that, none of that existed.
Right.
None of it.
Right. At least that word.
It's all make-believe.
I mean, there are linguistics who say that, yes, that, you know, that letter and Judaism, Jerusalem, Jews, and I can go on, Judah, all that came later, but there was a different word. I mean, that's like Jesus, Joshua. Instead of Jesus, it was, his name was Joshua. You know, don't know, but the bottom line is that these folks, they have played a game. Go ahead.
Look, their practice, look, come on, man. 2023, right? Their practice is one of confusion. Their practice is to confuse. Look, I heard you say this, and I'm going to stand by you, and I'm on the same page. self authenticity, to give themselves some credence to world story, they make up bullcrap. They just make it up.
Yes.
You know what I like? I don't know if you ever followed this guy, Walter Williams. You know, he's on your side of the pond, Walter Williams. You know, you familiar with him?
Yes.
Well, he's on your side of the pond, Walter Williams, right? He I love when he comes on. I love that brother, right? He's brilliant. You know, he tells you, he said it. He said, when all this came into fruition is when they invented the printing press. Straight away when he said that, it blew my mind because I knew it was the truth. Because in order for them to throw a lie, they put it in a book. They put it in paper. Look, it's all bullcrap.
Yeah.
Now, I know that sounds hard for people to accept because America was built on this bullcrap. But the reality of it is, it's nonsense. They give themselves authenticity. When you go to Egypt or those places, you see the truth because it's still there. What they're telling you, everything they tell you, you can't find no evidence of. And they tell you, you just got to believe. Right. You just got to believe it. It's a load of crap. Look, in 2023, wait, I ain't believing nothing. Unless you can show me the evidence, it's all bullcrap to me. And our evidence is still there.
Yeah.
It's still in the ground.
That's still there.
What they're talking about is absolute nonsense. Making up these characters, Muhammad. Making up these characters, Jesus. It's all nonsense.
Yeah.
And this is what they got. And this is why we can't move ahead. Because right now in Africa, today, they're still fighting over this nonsense. Yep. Jesus and Muhammad. They're still fighting over it today. This is how they got misled and confused out of minds. And I know, Baba Ochi, a lot of people are going to be kicking in the radio saying, what is that Englishman talking about? But I'm telling you the truth. That's why you're speaking English, because that's what the English have done to you. Okay? That's the reality of it.
Yeah. Another thing is that, you know, the fact that they've imposed this on us, it has not benefited us collectively. Now, if one can make an argument that they're a Christian and they're doing well, they're blessed and they're highly favored, but while their family and their neighborhood and their community and those like them are going to hell, but they're blessed and highly favored because why? They learn how to manipulate that system of Christianity, like those preachers. All those preachers. I've seen a piece said, if you're truly blessed and highly favored, then give back all the money and see how you can function within the Christian religion. No, it's bull, just like you said.
But, you know, look at this. Come on, man, we got to wake up. You know what they tell us, these so-called Jews tell us about this 6,000 of them? There's another thing about the thing you played the other day, and the brother regurgitated the fact that 6,000 Jews died in Holocaust. Look,
Six million. Whatever.
If you got, you know what pushes back against that? Time, the census, the recorded census. There wasn't even 6 million Jews in Germany. Mm-hmm. There wasn't even 6 million Jews in Germany. Look, they have made it up, okay? Now, the reality, why I say Catholicism, how is it possible that they took all them Nazis, those Nazis that were supposed to be putting the Jews in gas chamber, where did they take them to, Baba Ochi?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They took them to America. Yeah. America is where they took them. Okay? They took those Nazis who were supposedly killing off these Jews in gas chambers.
Right.
They took them to America. That's why you got Germantown in America.
That's right.
You could never in a million years have Germantown in England. It wouldn't happen. They wouldn't let it happen. But you got it in America because they took those Germans. And you know why they took them there? Because there was a lot of them there already.
Right.
Because the ideas for that, the ideas for that that Nazism came out of America. America had a part to play in it.
Right, they did.
Okay,
they did. They got. They show that. They show a rally in New York with tens of thousands of Nazis with the Nazi insignia and all kinds of symbolism and so forth. I mean, it is the same people. And then once the war was over, many of them came here.
Thank you.
But listen, I got to take a break, Brother Paul. You stay with us, okay? And now we're going to be right back, man. You stay with us, Brother Paul. Peace. I'm going to play my last Christmas song, which is Curtis Blow Christmas Rap. And when we come back, we're going to talk about why we should not be celebrating European holidays, and a nice piece from Dr. Barishango and other stuff that we're going to do. So This is Curtis Blow. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the
house... Hold it now, wait, hold it, that's played out. Hit it! Don't you give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive. Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good. Gonna rock, shock, rock it through your neighborhood. Gonna read, gonna sing it till it's understood. My rap's about to happen like a knee. You were slapping, or I told you been tapping on a hunk of wood. Bought a red suited dude with a friendly attitude and a sleigh full of goodies for the people on the block. Got a long white beard, maybe looks kind of weird. And if you ever see him, he can give you quite a shock. Now people, let me tell you about last year when the dude came flying. Well, the home was out, snow was on the ground. Folks stayed in, 2 40 down. The beat was thumping on the box, and I was dancing in my socks. And the drummer played at a solid pace, and the taste of the bass was in my face. And the guitar player laid down a heavy layer of the funky chunky rhythm of the disco key. And the guy with the 88 started to participate, and I could sure appreciate it sound so sweet. We were all in the mood, so we had a little food and a joke and a smoke and a little bit of wine. When I thought I heard a hoop on the top of the roof, could it be it wasn't me? I was feeling super fine, so I went to the attic where I thought I heard the static. On the chance that the fans put somebody breaking in, put the noise on the top with a reindeer top, just a trick, Saint Nick, and I let the sucker in. Holy moly, you got a lot of wishes on your chinny chin chin. He allowed, he was proud of the hairy little crowd on the point of the door where the skin should have been. Gets cool for a fool going out every year for a day on the same when the cold winds blow. To the beer may be weird, but I'll never have a cheer, cause it's warm in the fall when it's bent below. I said, yo God, it's cold tonight, but can you stop for a drop before you go? He said, why not? If the music's hot and our chance to dance beneath the mistletoe. So he went downstairs and forgot his scares, and he rocked the spot and danced like a pro. And every young girl tried to rock his world, but he booked the yogi yogi till he had to go. And before he went, this fine old Jake bought a gift with a sip to his big red bag. In the top or the bottom, he reached in and got toy for the boys for the girl's glad rag. And a grown-up got some presents too, a new TV and a stereo. A new Seville, about as blue as the sky, the best that money couldn't buy. Cause money could never ever buy the feeling, the one that comes from not concealing the way you feel about your friends. And this is how the story ends. The dude in red back at the pole of North, where everything is cold. But if he were right here tonight, he'd say, Merry Christmas, and to all, a good night. I see that it's not clear, but you good buddy, so clean out your ears. Listen very close while I pop more game, cause my name in the Hall of Fame. The K-U-R, the T-I-S, the first is the best, I must confess. The B-L-O and the W, I make you wanna catch the Boogaloo crew. Now if your name is Andy, get up off your fanny. If your name is Todd, get off your backside. If your name is Steve, you don't need a seat, cause I'm Curtis Blow and I'm on the go. I'm rocking to the rhythms in stereo.
your hands in the air and raise one like you just don't care. If you're ready like Freddy to rock, Will Teddy, somebody say, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, your ladies, all the ladies in the house say, ow. And you don't stop. Come on, come on, come on. Let me see you rock. I get down. Stop messing around when Curtis Blow is in your town. I'm Curtis Blow on the microphone. A place called Harlem was my home. I was rocking one day. It started to shake. It sounded to me I like an earthquake. I packed my bags. I said goodbye. I kissed my woman and I started to fly. I came to Earth by a meteorite to rock you all on the mic. So just kick off your shoes, let your fingers pop. The Curtis Blow's just about ready to rock. Now the people in the back, if you're not the wax, say... The people in the front, if you want to bump, say. The people in the middle, if you want to wiggle, say. And the people on the side, if you want to slide, say. Not a preacher or a teacher or an electrician. A fighter or a writer or a politician. The man with the key to your ignition. Curtis Blow is competition. Young ladies, shock the house. Jazzy young ladies, shock the house. Now just throw your hands in the air and wave it like you just don't care. If y'all really ready to rock the house this morning, somebody say, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Somebody scream. Oh. Young ladies, Mercedes, all the ladies in the house say, ow.
Ow.
Say, ho.
Ho.
Ho. Ho. Ho.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Curtis Blow, 1979. Christmas is one thing I know. Yeah. Speaking of Christmas, Christmas, I'm going to play this little piece. You know, if you go to YouTube or whatever and look up Dr. Ishaka Musa Barashango, many of his presentations are hours long. You know, very seldom can you get. I found a couple of clips, but the sound quality was terrible, and I know from what I'm doing that wouldn't work. So I'm going to play a piece of a presentation, Why Are We Supporting European Holidays? Dr. Bereshan Goh, affectionately known as Baba, Dr. Ishakamusa Bereshan Goh, affectionately known as Baba, began his journey to the land of the ancestors on January 14, 2004. It'll be 20 years next month on the 14th. He apparently succumbed to a heart attack during his morning walk. The dynamic minister, author, historian, educated motivational speaker, was born April 27th, so was I, 1938 in Philadelphia. Dr. Bereshan Goh received his Bachelor's of Arts degree in religion from Oakwood College in Huntsville, Alabama. He studied for his master's degree at Northeastern Seminary in Tacoma Park, Maryland. The New African University Network System of Washington, D.C. saluted him with an honorary doctorate of philosophy degree in 79. Reverend Bereshan Goh founded the Temple of the Black Messiah School of History and Religion and co-founded Fourth Dynasty Publishing Company of Silver Spring, Maryland. He also taught history and religion at several colleges and universities in the area, as well as lectured CDs. Dr. Bereshan Goh was the author of several books, including African People and European Holidays, A Mental Genocide, Book One. African People and European Holidays, A Mental Genocide, Book Two. God, the Bible, and the Black Man's Destiny. African Women, the Original Guardian Angel, and African Genesis. Amazing Story of Man's Beginnings. Dr. Bereshan Goh was completely dedicated to the physical, mental, and spiritual liberation of African people. He dedicated his life to that cause. Ashe, Dr. Bereshan Goh. Here's a part of this presentation. He talks about Halloween, Thanksgiving, misgivings, Christmas, and the 4th of July. So I'm going to pick it up at Christmas so we can get a taste of the spirit of Dr. Ishakamusa Bereshan Goh.
Now, I don't want you to think I'm an unhappy man. I'm a happy man. I'm happy, first of all, because I'm an African. Every morning I wake up, I look in the mirror and I say, thank you. And I mean that. Win, lose, or draw. When black people make me mad, and they can make me so mad, I'm still happy to be an African. It's still my blood. The greatest experience I've ever had in my whole entire life was the African experience. I have not always had the African experience. I'm a born-again African. Because I didn't always know I was an African. And since I've been born again to the Africanness, it is the most wondrous experience I've ever had. And the study of our history is just so overwhelming to me. It just takes me out. And this is a drop in the bucket. We haven't even begun to study this. Our scholars, as great and wonderful as they are, haven't even touched the surface, and they know that. We all know that. Look what we have to bequeath to our children now. The thing can open up, the bull's out the barn now. You can't do nothing. You can't shut the door. They just best go on and leave us alone. They're going to call down God's anger on them, and he's going to use us to demonstrate it. Now, when we get to Xmas, the merry mess, I know some of y'all really get mad with me about that, because I got to admit, I mean, the music and all that, I mean, that's some, the way they portray it is pretty, man. I mean, it's tempting. It's pretty. I like the music. And every year I used to go to see the Nutcracker Suite. In fact, I conducted the Nutcracker Suite. I still like the music. But when I studied it, I went into it historically and found out what it was all about. That was based in the Satanism practices, once again, of the Druids and all that. And I don't have time to go on that tonight, but I do discuss it in the book. There were several questions that came up. And one was, first of all, it is not the birthday of Jesus. First of all, it is not. Jesus ben Joseph of the house of Panther. Maybe you might want to question me on that. Was a black man. And we have empirical fact. We're not saying it because we would like it to be so, because it makes us feel good to think that it is a historical fact that you can't get around. Even Billy Graham, when they put him on the point in the 60s, said, well, now, what color was Jesus? He said, swarthy. So they stopped and said, okay. Said, well, it really doesn't make any difference, though, because he was for everybody. So they went on with that. The swarthy is the German word swartz for black. That's what it was. You can't get around that. So here now they take the life of a black prophet, a liberator, because S.G.F. Brandon, in his book, Jesus and the Zealots, a white theologian at Manchester University, he begins the book with the first paragraph. The only thing known for certain about Jesus of Nazareth is that he was crucified as a rebel against the Roman Empire. And Donovan Joy says everything else is theological conjecture. Now, that may be the only thing that Mr. Brandon knows, but while I was reading Mr. Brandon, I also read Mr. Rogers. And Mr. Rogers says, moreover, the word Christ comes from the Indian word Krishna, which means the black one. And I also, having studied history, knew that he came from the tribe of Judah, which was the navy blue-black tribe of the children of Israel. And the only one who could reign as a king and be received as a true prophet was he who was kissed of the sun. Because the Israelites, like the Bible says in Amos the 9th chapter and the 7th verse, are ye not unto me as the Ethiopians and the Egyptians, O Israel? We're of the same racial stock. But we don't have time to go into detail, but in God, the Bible, and the Black Liberation Struggle, I give documentation for that. They tell me they used that book in some seminaries around this country. There was an underground movement going on, and those young ministers said, we come out, we're going to start interjecting this to the people. And in some denominations, they have a groundswell coming up where they're telling them they got to take that Eurocentric white supremacist imagery down out of the church. So as they're pushing for that, the reason why, they told me, when I met with them, they said, Brother Shaka, you're one of the pioneers here, and we appreciate what you've done. I didn't even know that was going on. They said, the reason why we seem to be moving slow, brother, is because, and I know why, because some brothers stood up and would tell the people and lost their whole congregations. So they said, we're going slow and feeding them a little at a time. One brother got up preaching and could see, I'm crazy, it don't make me no difference, you know. If you come, I'm happy. If you don't come, I got to do it anyway till the day I die. Even if I preach to the benches, I got to do it. One brother was preaching on the Jesus as an African and his involvement in the liberation struggle, and the next week his church was empty. Last time I saw him, he was walking up down in front of the White House with a sign. That's what they did to him, man. But here you have a black man who was crucified or assassinated for rising up and taking his people to establish a kingdom of heaven on earth, which is a nation, not kingdom in heaven, but kingdom of heaven, fighting for liberation from the white Roman power structure. And the Romans didn't crucify him as a new prophet. They didn't crucify him as God or the Son of God or the organizer of a new religion. What does it say? He stirreth up the people. The charge was inciting to riot. That's what the charge was. Everything else came later. After Europeans took him over, he became any and everything. Now, they fought over these different days once the Europe, because it began as the African Christian church, and the Europeans took it, Rome took it militarily. Now, after Augustine and Origen and Tertullian and others had taught them, which they shouldn't have done in the first place. We always run over there telling them something and getting the dirty end of the stick. So now
They had a problem they had to face because everybody in the world of peoples of color, and even many of the white people in Europe, the Druids and so forth, having inherited that knowledge from the Iberians who was there, celebrated the winter solstice. The time when the earth tilts back towards the sun, and we're moving back towards summertime now. And it was on December the 25th, around December the 22nd, and went on through some places December the 25th. And it was the birthday of Horus, or Horu, from which we get the word hero, the son of Osset and Asar, whom they misnomered Isis and Osiris, the birthday of Tammuz, the birthday of Mithra, just about any savior god around the world was born on this day. So they said, these people are not going to let this go, so we're going to have a birthday for ours. They came up with the 6th of January, the 16th of April, several days in April, in August, some days in September, and they finally decided on December the 25th. When did they decide it? 325 years after the fact. When everybody that knew Jesus was gone away from here. Anybody who had some, may have had some birth records, didn't have any more. And how did they get people to accept it? Not through Septimus Dominus Meum. Holy God, Holy Jesus, Mary Mother of God. By the power of the sword. Constantine the Great at the Council of Nicaea in 325. Most everything you believe about Christianity was decided then and there. It was the cross and the sword. They didn't do it by praying. Because the African bishop said, this is not true what you say. Jesus is not one with God. He was a great prophet. They said, you either accept it or we run your behind out of here. So they ran him out. And they established it by the sword there. On, I think I've dealt with that. I'm not going to deal with Santa Claus now tonight. Okay. Don't worry about my train. I'll stay over if I have to. Don't get this often. Just be in Africa like this. All Africa. Santa Claus, or Sinterklaas, as the Dutch called him, is another name for Satan. How do I know that? All you have to do is look at the letters and mess with them a little bit and you see that. But also know that who this is supposed to be related to was one Saint Nicholas, who was supposed to be a bishop of Myra in the 4th century of this era, of the Common Era. And he became the patron saint of thieves, pawnbrokers. Children, they threw children in there too. Thieves and pawnbrokers. Because thievery was all right in Europe as long as it was organized. They had guilds of thieves in Europe. And when you get locked up if you didn't belong to the guild. If you was out there working on your own as an independent, that's when they lock you behind up. But if you were protected by the guild, you could make it. And St. Nicholas was the patron saint of that group, and pirates. And he was also called Old Nick, which you don't have to take while you go back and study European language, was another word for the devil. Because in there was always with the European an ambiguous aspect in anything they dealt with. And they had the devil or God or whatever, they were all, and that's why in the mistranslation, the King James Version of the Bible, you will find all of these contradictions. How can a divine, I'm using that term, I don't even like the term God, because it's dog spelled backwards, but I'm just using it for convenience now. And there's a whole historical reason as to why. I can't go into that right now. How can a good, loving God, Father, Africans always said mother, father, God, because you can't procreate nothing, even on the spiritual level, without the female and male aspect. Only Europeans try that stuff. Even the divine creative intelligence in the universe got to hook up in the midnight hour to make things happen. It's a holy thing. When you go about it right. But how can this good, loving Father, as they call him, that could do no wrong, created the world and said it is good, that is perfect, that created all things perfect, do all that and then have a devil in that world? Now, if God created everything according to their thinking, how in the deuce did the devil get there? If all the creation was done by God, where did the devil come from? You got to ask that question. If it was already there, how could it be there if God was greater than it? I'm asking some questions, and you know why I'm asking this question? Not to pick with you, or not to attack your belief system, because I don't mess with anybody's belief system, but I'm going to deal with history, whether you agree with it or not. A lot of young people are asking these questions, and we're giving them all kind of fantastic and mythological answers that do not make sense to them. And so they are seeking answers in the wrong place. And therefore, if God, and the Bible often says that God caused this evil to happen to this person, caused that evil to happen to that person. How can you be good and cause evil at the same time? What you're looking at is a mistranslation of the ancient text in the King James Version there. That's what you're looking at, a confusion there. So with the European, and I did that to demonstrate that those who mistranslated the text always had that idea that it was really no difference between them, between God and the devil. It all worked in the, together there. Good and evil is whoever could sustain it by the sword that made it holy and righteous and just. There could be nothing no more evil than human enslavement. Nothing more evil than that. Nothing more evil than genocide. But as long as you could do it and get away with it, then you were ordained by what? God to do it. Because God let you get away with it. That's the Europeans thinking. His way of thinking. So this is how now Santa Claus becomes Satan, that used to ride around on a gray donkey. They got a thing about that donkey, man. On Christmas Eve night, when everybody was scared to death because they said that night too that goblins and ghosts and things came out and messed with them. And he had this big wazel bowl filled with this intoxicating beverage that he would feed the goblins and keep them from messing with the people. And that's how he became Father Christmas. Also, another word for him is Kris Kringle. Kris Kringle means the birth of the Christ child. Now, this I got to ask you. Now, wait, man, let's be logical. Let's put aside belief and all that. Let's be logical in our thinking. How can a little short, dumpy, fat, red suit, red and white suit and wearing puffy face white man be a representative of or one and the same of the Christ child born over in a hot land in Palestine, a black boy in a manger in a stable, who eventually was assassinated for rebelling against the Roman government? Where's the connection? But here's the foolishness of it. I don't mean to sound arrogant or anything, but it just sounds foolish to me. Look, these young people are coming to me with this and to us with this. Now, either you're going to deal with reality with them or you're going to lose them altogether. But these fantasies are not going to keep it. They may have worked for you in your time because you didn't know any better. God winked on your ignorance because you didn't know no better. But now the door has been opened. The light is here. And if you fight against it, you fight against yourself. You prick against yourself in fighting against it. I'm not trying to convert you to anything. I'm not trying to get you to join anything but yourself. I want you to do your own thinking. And you can't do your own thinking unless you know this as well as that. Then you got some information you can work with in your brain computer. Other than that, you'll be walking around supporting their system and keeping them going from now on. That's why God will have to kill you with them too, because you won't let go. So he's going to get them. He and she going to get them. Ain't no doubt about that in my mind. I might not be allowed to see it, but they're going to get got. The law of karma is an immutable law. What goes around comes around. Never fail. All you got to do is study history and you will see that. Now, here's the thing that shows the insanity that we have come into since we've been captivated here. You work hard to get money, and you got to do it. You're compelled to do it. It's a sin against God if you don't do it. You offend the baby Jesus if you don't do it. Get this money. I got to get this white man this money. And he puts you in a state of panic and hysteria. There's only 20 days left to Christmas. Only 15 days left to Christmas. And he come at you through your babies. Because you know, black folks don't like to deny their babies nothing. It's hard to say no to your babies. And they lacking so much in the world today anyway, so you figure, at least I can give them this little bit of something. I know what you're thinking now. Let me ask you something, though. How in the name of heaven do you do all this? You got to work hard and 2-3 extra jobs and wrapping packages and maces and stuff. Spending money you ain't got. Wait till the babies go to sleep at night. And here you go with your fools off. Shit, tip them out. But you done hid somewhere. They wake up the next morning, their eyes all bright and looking at stuff around the tree. Come here, baby. Look what Santa Claus done for you. Now, you can do what you want. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to work my butt off. Buy something for my children and tell them some white man did it. But here's a part of the mental genocide of that. You lied to your child for 10, 12 years. You may think that's a light thing, but it isn't. You have your child believing in something, and I mean we believe in it. I was hurt. I cried for 2 days when they told me it wasn't no Santa Claus. I cried, man. And I'm trying to figure out, how can my mama, who is a beautiful woman, who loved me and worked hard, working in white folks' house, washing their clothes, and ironing their clothes, and rubbing their clothes, and dying, take care of me? How can she lie to me like that? And it establishes, if the child is not conscious, it establishes subconsciously a distrust. Time is running out. It establishes a distrust. And anything else you say. So now by the time they get to adolescence, you wonder why they don't trust what you say to them. Right. You don't lie to them like that. For what? To give white folks the credit? Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to close out on this and because I got to say just a little bit about the 4th of July here. But I got to say this too. Can I just a minute? Many times I go to prison, I didn't know I had such a, you know, every brother's passed books all around the prison. I went down one hall of one prison, and it was like I was returning a conqueror from victory. All over there, man. Oh, are the brothers in prison be reading the books? And I went to one prison, man, heard all this cheering all over there. Where, how they know me? So I get to go and talk to the brothers in the prison a lot, see? So I'm in prison talking to brothers. And a lot of them, I find, got armed robbery charges. And many of those charges fell during this season of the year. So I asked him, I said, brother, what's responsible for that? Why did you do that? Because most of those crimes are committed against other black people. See? So well, why you do that, brother? He said, well, now look, I'm going to tell you. This is what some of the brothers told me. He said, when your children keep saying that this is Christmas and this new thing coming out and that thing coming out, and your woman keep putting pressure on you about you got to get some money and get some Christmas in here, because I know I can identify with that. That's why I hooked up with the sister I was with now, the African-American sister. I've been through that. I let some sisters go behind that. And that's before I found out the truth about it. Put that pressure on me, and I had to get this money. I couldn't get no job. I didn't have no job, so I had to go get it the best way I can. Because when I walk before my children and my woman, I want to look like a man. Now, you done wrapped his manhood up into what he can get you materially from this white man. Look at that. And in counseling with some of the sisters, they are the wives and girlfriends and things of these men in there. I said, wouldn't it be better for you to have your man home for your children? Wouldn't that be a better Christmas for you than this man to be in jail? Behind these material things aren't going to last. And you know how it goes. Halfway through the day, most of the stuff is torn up, laying in the corner. You look at it and realize you have been living in a fool's paradise, so to get over that, you break out the bottle and have Christmas cheer. And then once you get that alcohol in you and start thinking about you done spend money you don't have, think about how you gonna get your rent paid next month or your mortgage paid or feed your babies in January, then you resort to the ritual of busting each other upside the head. I don't know about you, but when I was coming up, I couldn't figure out why on such a beautiful day, when I had all these toys and it was so lovely, and Santa Claus and Jesus and everybody had come, and everybody was so happy, that a fight always broke out before the day was over. Now I know. Fourth of July, and I'm finished. Just take me a minute on this one. I don't want to take advantage, because I know you got other things to do, but...
I'm sorry about that. I had a little bit more, but that's it. That's Dr. Shakamusa Barashango, and just one of the many presentations he's done on European holidays and why we shouldn't celebrate European holidays. Let me go to the phone lines and open up the phone lines. Brother Irv, good afternoon.
Baba Oshi, thank you for taking my call.
All right, dear.
Baba Oshi, yes, Baba sir. Oshi, that was amazing.
Yeah.
That was simply amazing.
It
transcends time. It is everlasting. In other words, everything he said applied to right now. Because we are still doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Right.
We as a people, and this is my opinion. As a people, we have done everything that is asked of us by this Caucasian, this Urugu that we live amongst. We've tried to look like him. We've tried to marry them. We've tried to worked for them. We've tried to work with them. We've done all the things that are supposed to be done or that they want us to do, and we still are segregated to a second-class citizenship. In other words, no matter what you do, you're never going to be what it is that they want, that you think you should be, because you don't have the education to understand that the game is rigged, brother.
Mm-hmm,
it's rigged. It's never, you're right. never going to see, it's always going to be upside down for you.
That's
it's
right.
never going to be right side up. And even if it is right side up for you, your brother is going to be upside down. So if
yeah.
my brother's in trouble, then so am I.
Yeah.
But because of individualism,
mm-hmm.
come on now, stay with
yeah.
me, Robert Oshie.
Come on, bring
because
it.
Because of
come
individualism,
on.
This works because of individualism.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I'm looking out for me, I'm going to get mine.
That's right.
You know, I got to look out for number one.
Yep.
Come on, man. I
in
can't
fact,
help you till I help myself.
That's right. In
huh?
fact, there's nothing wrong with the system. You know, there's something wrong with you because it's there for everybody. No, it ain't. But the fact of the matter is, because you got yours, you feel everybody else should be able to get theirs. No, it don't work that way. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, that's what the society perpetuates. And as a consequence, you think that because I got it, it don't mean you can get it. Mm-mm.
No, Ossie Davis said it, for every so-called successful Negro, they can give you a story of how racism affected their life.
Right.
They can give you a story of some people and their family who are not with. Or look at Oprah. Or look at all the entertainers. Well,
mm-hmm.
look at the guy who was just dropped by Marvel.
Yeah.
Is he saying? I don't mean to be hollering, but I get passionate about it because is he saying, they dropped me. Oh, I can't do movies no more. Or is he saying, you know what? I can act. I'm going to start my own media company.
Right on.
I'm going to grab some people that look like me so we can start our own Disney. I may not get to the point where Disney is now in my lifetime, but what I'm going to do is what the Jew did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to plant the seed so that my children's children, because these are the Jews from the children's children's children who are having this so-called success. But in actuality, are they successful or are they living a Satanistic lifestyle?
Mm.
Because all this sex and no values and you loving men, loving men and women, all this is nasty to me.
Yeah.
To me, this is just my opinion. So my point is, let's not get upset because the brother got dropped by Disney. Why don't we start our own Disney? Why are our sons playing in the NCAA? March Madness, and none of them are getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting paid. Why are we talking about, I want to be a basketball player? Why don't we teach our children to start a league? We have the minds. We
mm-hmm.
have the minds to do anything.
That's
if you
right.
can survive slavery, come on now. The physical slavery, not the mental slavery. We survive physical slavery. We're still here.
Mm-hmm.
We can build anything. We can do anything. There's nothing that a black man, an American African, can't do because I'm not in Africa, but Africa's in me. I'm going to stop right there.
I say.
Because I'm getting upset. Now I go to the bathroom.
All right,
I love you,
brother.
Baba Uchi.
Love you too,
get somebody
brother.
Else in, man.
Okay.
Let's
okay. Jay, what's up, Jay? How you doing, man? Jay, are you there?
Oh, what's up, Oh?
I'm doing
Listen,
well, baby. What up with you? Okay, go ahead.
Good, man. You know, as always, I'm dropping jewels, man. You know, it's funny you were playing Barashango. I was thinking about Barashango because, you know, back in the heyday in New York when we had, you know, real culture going on, he would come in during this time before he passed away and do lectures, man.
Mm-hmm.
And his lectures, they would be on fire, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, he was no joke.
No.
I mean, his presentation would always have a packed house. Because during that same period of time, Karenga would be coming to the city to do his presentations on Kwanzaa, because Brooklyn was a hot spot during that situation, that time. It was, I would say, culturally, it was probably Brooklyn, and then maybe Harlem, and then maybe Queens. It really wasn't too much going on in the Bronx, and it was nothing going on in Staten Island, culturally, really. But, yeah, Barry Sango was no joke, man. And now, hey, man, the reality is, you know, everything is propaganda and contradiction and hypocrisy of what's going on. Because
I don't know, Jay,
if you spoke about it or not, but yesterday and what's about to happen in the next few days in regards to this so-called Constitution and the constitutionalist that's supposed to be the bastard on the Supreme Court is going to just show it. Because if we're really talking about democracy, truth, and all of those other things that play, the bastard needs to be off the ballot. I mean, we don't need to
Well, I mean, are you saying that it possibly could be a domino effect after Colorado did what they did, that many states, because of the fortune of the minute, should drop his ass from being on the ballot because
the reality is this. You and I both know he participated and what he participated in. They could call it treason. They could call it whatever the hell they want to call it. In whatever the hell they want to call it. In the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, which the so-called constitutionalist cracker, that even what you call a Clarence is a crack as far as I'm concerned. He's the worst of all of the crackers. He's a baby. He's not even fit to be called the Uncle Tom. He's a baby Tom. The reality is the man did what he did, and he should be barred from running for president and being on the ballot in every other state that chooses to move forward and remove him. It should stand. But what's going to happen is it's not going to go down because the Supreme Court is going to Mickey Mouse their way out of it. And I honestly just want to observe and look at the way that they go word salad.
Exactly.
And the
way I agree with you, Jay. I want to see how they're going to manipulate
that. The last thing is this. The way that they're going to do it, it's going to open up the eyes of some people, and it's going to keep the dumb, deaf, and blind
in that position.
Dumb, deaf, and blind.
Yeah.
And the reality is this, and we better take this into consideration seriously. They rule against Trump, and they let it stand. Black folks better watch themselves extremely closely, because you don't know what the reaction is going to be on some of these sick, twisted new rules. And you and I both know most black people ain't in the position to protect themselves from any sort of attack by this rule. Now, we may fantasize and talk about, we do this, we do that. No, Negroes, you'll do nothing but stand there, get shot, most of you. And look for the white man to come save your dumb ass.
I hear you.
So get yourself together. If you got a home, put some cameras up on your home, clean your guns, and just, hey, be ready on your swivel.
All right, Jay.
All right.
All right, brother. Peace. Brother Paul.
Baba Oshie.
Yeah. No.
You know.
Oh, hold on.
Baba Oshie, everything is so connected, yeah. You're talking about that brother, is it Barry Sango? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I can't honestly say. Be honest. Oh man, I saw the book recently. I had a book I bought by him. I think it was entitled "The Black Man's Place in the Bible" or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly what the title was, but I only see it recently. But it was a funny type of book. It wasn't like a normal book. It was like a type of like a like someone self-published it. It was like a paperback kind of thing, a big book, like mm-hmm. A4 size. Yeah. Anyway, and I'm just as you're talking, I'm remembering it now because I actually bought. I was a teenager at the time. I was seeing this girl, man. This girl was so I'll tell you, yeah. She was.
Well, he's been dead 20 years, man. In fact, this presentation I just played was from the early 90s. So go ahead.
Because I bought that book. I remember now. I bought that book because I was seeing this girl, yeah, and she was in the church. And she kept on asking me to come to church all the time, man. And I knew that's not my place, man, because, my, you know, like I've told you before, my parents are Christian, and my dad always says, oh, you should have sent me Sunday school and all this kind of nonsense. And anytime I speak to my mom's always telling me, oh, my mom's argument would be, oh, it's because you don't believe in God. So, you know, that's how I grew up, man. I've been fighting this thing since I was a child, because it's not me. It's not something.
You've been a rebel from day one, right? You've been a rebel from the day. I hear you, Paul. Go ahead.
I'm talking like this. It's not something. It's not a fashion statement for me, bro. I've been fighting this thing since I'm a child. My parents are beautiful, man. But that's not one thing I'm gonna join, man. Because I even as a child, I saw that. Hey, you got this white man on the wall. You know, even as a child, Baba Ochi, I used to think to myself, as a child, I used to look at this man, and I think, what is going on here? Now, I'm telling you from my heart. I hear some people say crack and all this stuff, man. I ain't got that sort of hate because I wasn't grown up to have hate for anybody. But I knew in my mind, who is he? Why is we all look black? All my family's black. And who is this man? And I could not fall for that. I just couldn't fall for it. I couldn't. So what I'm saying is I bought that book to give to a girl I was seeing at the time because I was so sick of her telling me to come to church, right? And I didn't want to be rude and I didn't want to tell her my mind how I really felt. So I bought her that book, yeah? And I remember her reaction was so bad, Baba Ochi, I can tell you, man. Now, imagine, yeah? Her parents came from Barbados and, you know, she's black like me. And I remember giving her that book. Her reaction was terrible, man. It was almost as if I called her mum a name or called her dad. That's how she reacted. Mm-hmm. And she gave me back the book. She gave me it back, right? Because, as you're talking, I remember it. She gave me back the book. And, you know, the reality of it is, yeah, and that girl was so beautiful. She was so bright, so forward-thinking, but she was just into this church thing. And look, Baba Ochi, that's a lot of our people, man.
Yes, it is.
This is why I said...
Yes, it is.
When I spoke to you last week and I said we're going back to slavery, because I said I started my journey on this. And one of the reasons why I said that is, and before I even knew that the Europeans brought a boat called the Jesus to Africa, I didn't know that at the time, but I could see it. Because I even as a young person, we're brainwashed. We're brainwashed out of our minds. I knew that. Nobody told me that. I knew that. Mm-hmm. And so all this time, and I've been reading this information from all these scholars, right? They just confirmed in my mind. I already knew we were brainwashed. They just confirmed to me we are totally out of our minds. So every time I hear people talk about the Bible or even the Quran, I know we're in trouble. We're in so much trouble. Because today, Baba Ochi, I'm just going to say this. We have got the access to information at our fingertips. Everything you need to know is on your phone. But yet you're still talking that. That means we're in trouble. That's all I can say. We are in so much trouble that we don't even know.
Yeah.
And it's not the politics that put us in trouble. It's not Trump or any of these. We've been in trouble for 6,000 years. Go and read... You go and read The Destruction of Black Civilization. Yeah. He tell you how long we've been in this situation. It's not what these things people can do. It's nothing already been done to us. Nothing. We have to break out of this mindset. And unfortunately, right, oh man, we got a lot of work to do, Baba Ochi. But I'm telling you, the ancestors have brought you. The ancestors have brought you, and there's many like me. And it's not going to be the many what's going to change this. It's going to be the few.
That's right.
It's going to be the few.
That's right, brother. So keep on. Keep on keeping on, man. Keep on preaching. Keep on going out there and telling our special truth. Keep on giving honor and reverence.
I've been warring from when I was a young kid. I've been warring from my parents will tell you that boy. My dad will say that boy. I've been warring from when I was a young to now, and I haven't stopped, and I'm not going to stop until they put me in the grave because we are in trouble. Yeah. And I don't think most of us know how much trouble we're in.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you, I have faith. That, you know, I was talking to a good friend of mine, and because of the European has the weaponry that he has, and the fact that he has manipulated the media in all phases of it, you know, it's very difficult for us to step outside of what has been imposed upon us to look at it for what it is and move ourselves, not to move against it, but kick it to the curb and let us get ourselves together. Let us get our minds together to think, you know, independently and to think sovereignty for African people to be liberated and to be self-determining is very hard for us. But it has to be done, because if we're going to live, if we're going to be a people in the future, it has to happen. Otherwise, that is our demise. And the fact that, Brother Paul, the fact that we sit on the world's resources and yet we are the poorest people, how we look, how our place is, and what we live in is just pathetic. It speaks to the because lack of leadership.
Of our minds.
Yes.
Simple.
It is.
Right, our minds. Out of our minds, Baba Ochi. You say it every week, and yeah. I will not stop. But we're out of our goddamn minds. We're out of our minds.
Yes.
You know, clear. It's so clear. That's how they're able to steal the land. Mm-hmm. You know, Baba Ochi, they're removing us from the land.
Right.
Because we're out of our minds. Right. If we weren't out of our minds, listen, let me tell you this, Baba Ochi. If we weren't out of our mind, there's nothing we cannot create. There's right. nothing we cannot build. There's nothing we cannot do. But we're not doing it. Do you know why we're not doing it? It's simple, because we're out of our goddamn minds. That's right. simple. And there's nothing else. Look, I'm not worried about Trump. Worried about none of these people.
No.
None of them.
No.
What I'm more worried about, I'm more worried about us getting our, into our state of mind.
Yeah.
Because when we're in this position, everybody's going to have something over us. Everybody. Because mm-hmm. we're not in our minds. Once we're in our minds, they can't do that. Yeah. Because we know who we are. Yeah. And we know what we've got to do. No one has to tell us anything. No one has to tell us a damn thing. Man, when you're in your righteous mind, no one has to do nothing. What to do?
I'm over here smiling, Paul. You are so correct, brother. Listen, I got to run.
But I know. That's the ancestors. You know who connected us? You know who gave me this opportunity? You are the vehicle. But the ancestors are behind us. That's what
right.
can't be wrong.
That's right.
And I want to say to my brother Irv, I want to say to him something what he triggered last week. He said something about agreement. You know, he don't agree with anything and everything. Baba Irv, I wanna say something to you, my brother, direct to you. I don't come on this video for anyone to agree with. I don't care whether people agree with me. Not. And I'm willing to tell everybody and his friend this. I only think about what I say, and I hope to spread truth. That's all I go for. If I'm lying, then I'm not doing my job. If I come to convince you of anything, I'm not doing my job. I only come with the truth. Right. And I know that the truth is that we're out of our goddamn minds. Truth.
And you're right. Brother Irv. Brother Irv. Yeah, go ahead. Brother Lutz. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Brother Ted.
I know we have a very short period of time, but this is another opportunity this season coming up towards the end of this year to reestablish ourselves as a family. As Brother Paul was mentioning about we're out of our minds, I want to tear the cover off of Dr. Bruce's Bridges book
right.
about reestablishing or recapturing the African mind.
Right
and
on.
Part of this, I think, has to be that we have to all take the opportunity to reestablish who we are within our basic family structures
right.
and then work outwards. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you, my brother. Thank you, Ray. And you're right. But we also know that within families.
Is he talking about the Bridges, the man who was trying to do that?
Yes.
That same man?
Yeah, Dr. Bruce Bridges. He's been on the program a number of times.
I'm going to do this, right? And I thought to myself, I've got to do this. Now he says that one of the things I'm going to try to do here, I've got some projects to do, and one of them I'm going to really work hard on reestablishing some things that man was trying to do. Because it's not a coincidence that my dad talked about this man so highly. And my dad doesn't do that sort of thing, yeah? And I didn't really know who this man was until I started to American radio station. So I think it's I have a duty to try and reestablish some of these things because I know that man was on point.
All right.
Somehow.
Well, listen, that's one of my duties. Thank you, Brother Paul, and you guys, all of y'all. Love y'all. I got to run. I got to go pick up my grandson. So got to do my duty, my chauffeur duties. So
please drive safe, brother.
All right. Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Brother Paul, Brother Irv, Brother Jay, all of them, Sister Abia, all of y'all. Love y'all. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. That's why this program is so important. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell damn it don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed day, family. Peace.